Good Weekend Talks is a new podcast from the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
It's a deep dive, once a week, into Australia's definitive stories.
On Good Weekend Talks,
we take a long-form look at the people,
places and issues
that matter to you.
Devour the issue in depth.
And learn the backstory and craft behind some of Good Weekend's most popular pieces.
It's your favourite magazine, brought to life for your ears, your heart and your soul.
Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it's Thursday, March 26. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia had recorded 2,727 cases and 11 deaths. I'm joined now by our senior business columnist, Stephen Bartholomews. Bartho, welcome back to Please Explain.
It's a pleasure, Tori.
How are you coping with working from home?
I'm finding it a little bit claustrophobic. I've hardly left the house. I miss the social interactions in the office and also miss the Bloomberg machine and the office copier. And I'm going through a cartridge of blank ink almost daily. I'm a printer. Oh, I print out everything.
Right. And also all of this while you're covering one of the biggest stories on the markets that I can think of. What about you?
Oh, it's by far the biggest I've ever seen. In fact, it's by far the biggest anyone alive seen, I think.
So given that we're recording this at about lunchtime on Thursday, can you try and give us a bit of a history lesson on how the market has conducted itself since it first woke up to the fact that this coronavirus was going to become a pandemic and had its initial plunge?
It's actually a bit surprising, given that there was inklings that something unpleasant was happening in China from very early in the year, and some really smart investment bankers and brokers and fund managers picked that up and have made a fortune by selling short. It wasn't until the 20th of February that the American market woke up and sent shockwaves through the world. So if you look at from about 20 February to today, the market's fallen not quite 30%. So it's a massive fall in that period of time. We've never seen anything quite like the pace at which the market has fallen. I think the only thing comparable, and it's the sort of the outlier, was in October 87, when in one day the market fell 20%. But that's the only time the market's fallen faster than this since 1929.
Have there been any particular industries that led the downward plunge, or has it just been an across-the-board sell-off?
Well, it is an across-the-board sell-off with some fairly big plunges in particular sectors, and the obvious one, airlines and the travel sector. The world's aviation industry is on the brink of collapse because they have no passengers. And they're very high fixed cost businesses. If you have no revenue, almost instantly they're in crisis, and we've seen that with Qantas and Virgin.
So where are we at today, on this particular Thursday? There's been some recovery, hasn't there?
We've had 2 days in our market and in the US where the markets have edged up. The first 2 days since the sort of financial crisis, the share market crisis started. But it's essentially it's flatlining at that sort of minus 27, 28% below its peak back in February. And that was a record, by the way, back in February. The markets were higher than they'd ever been in the past. So it's been quite gut-wrenching for people in those markets and people exposed to those markets.
You've been saying for years that the market was overinflated and wondering when it was going to plunge. What you said that you were a bit surprised that it took the markets as long as it did for them to wake up. Do you think this is more than about the coronavirus?
I think the coronavirus has, in a sense, pricked the balloon. But I've been saying basically for a decade that there's going to be a fall, mainly because the markets were sustained predominantly by central bankers and very low and extraordinarily available credit and liquidity. And there was a limit to, I always thought, to how long that could be sustained because prices had got out of kilter with historical fundamentals. The US market was selling at something like 30 times its earnings. Historical average is 15 or less. Our market, if you went back to the 70s, was selling at 10 times earnings. It was selling at 20 times earnings before this thing started. So it always looked like we were just waiting for something to happen. And the markets tend to fall apart for quite obscure reasons. Something happens in a Russian bond market, or there's an interest rate differential suddenly opens up. and it pricks the balloon. Well, this time something completely unexpected happened, and it was a health issue, not the normal sort of financial issue that pricked the balloon.
It feels like every single morning you wake up and there's just more terrible news that you couldn't have even comprehended the night before when you went to bed. Do you think the markets are going to attempt to sort of be a bit optimistic if it starts to look like there's a turnaround and go ahead a bit early, or are we in this for the long haul now and it's only going to get worse?
A bit of both. I think the markets are always looking ahead of today's circumstance. So the markets will move ahead of the nadir of the pandemic. I do think, however, it's going to get worse. I mean, I think if you just look at the stats in our economy, the health stats and the economic stats, or the health stats and the economic stats in Europe and the UK and the US, they'll get worse, a lot worse, before they get better. And we don't know where that bottom of the cycle might be. If you look backwards to previous epidemics as opposed to a pandemic, SARS, for instance, they basically, the worst of them lasted 6 months at most. And certainly in terms of the markets recovered within about 6 months. But this is something like we've never seen before. I mean, you would have seen today, you've got Premier Retail Group, which is Just Jeans and a whole bunch of brands, including Smiggle, basically stood down 9,000 people and told us landlords it's not going to pay any more rent. We've never seen anything like this. And so the depth of the economic effects are kind of, there is no bottom to them. It'll keep going until the pandemic shows signs of easing. And we don't know what sort of shape we'll be in when we come out the other side. And therefore, there's no bottom to the financial markets either, because they don't know where what the ultimate economic outcomes might look like.
So I just want to talk about superannuation, because obviously that's where most Australians have their share ownership. There's different impacts here, isn't there, for people of different ages? I mean, people who are about to retire or who have retired must be absolutely devastated by what's happened.
Everyone who's got a super fund has lost money, unless they've been all in cash. So if you've got an exposure to the share market, or indeed fixed interest markets, because there's been huge impacts on credit markets and bond markets as well, you've lost money. If the super funds have actually traded out of their shares, then they've crystallised those losses, and so there's no back upside on that. If you're an old person about to retire, basically whatever you've got in your fund today after the share market falls and wherever that might lead us, is what you're going to have to live off. If you're a young person, the value of your fund will recover. Most funds, by the way, even in normal times, expect to lose money once every 5 years if it's a balanced fund. So the last little while has been a bit of an aberration, just how huge the market moves have been. As it is, we're only back to where we were basically when Donald Trump got inaugurated in the start of 2017. So it's not as though they've wiped out a lifetime's worth of savings. What you've lost is that sort of astonishing surge in the market post the start of the Trump administration. But certainly you crystallise your position if you're old. You've got plenty of time to recover it if you're young. If you look at, there's a study that's done by the London School of Economics and usually one of the big investment banks, comes out every year, and it looks at the performance of share markets over a rolling 100-year period. Funnily enough, our market has been the best performed market over any rolling 100-year period, average return of something like 7.5% real. So if you take a long-term view, the markets will eventually recover and you will recoup some of those losses. And if you're in there in the long haul, you will actually end up with quite a decent sort of return.
What do you think about the government policy of allowing people to draw down on their super, $10,000 this year, $10,000 next financial year, when the market's in this trough?
Yeah, there's a trade-off here, because compound interest is a powerful beast. So the more money you have in your fund, and the more you leave it in the fund, the bigger the outcome at the end of the day. So if you take a chunk out of that, then clearly the amount you're compounding is lower and therefore you end up with a lower payout. But if you've got no income and you've got, it's your money in those super funds, and that's the only way you can sustain yourself and pay your bills and pay for your food and whatever, I would have thought that's the one moment where you would actually tap your super fund if you absolutely had to. You wouldn't do it unless you had to. If you absolutely had to, that's better than starving.
And I'm not going to ask you to make any predictions because it's impossible at the moment, but we're not going to see big dividends from any of our top Australian companies for a while, are we?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. In fact, I think we're going to see a spate of dividend cuts. The large companies are in such a state of uncertainty that they want to conserve every bit of cash they've got. We've already had some. Obviously, Qantas stopped its dividend for obvious reasons, but I think we'll see a lot of that because of the degree of uncertainty, you know, the size of the question marks. Companies will say, well, we're better off hanging on to that cash just in case than paying it out. So if you're a retiree who lives off dividends, you're going to get a double whammy, dividends and your super fund. You're going to get a double whammy here because your income is going to shrink.
So just finally, Bartho, what's your approach to dealing with covering this story and worrying about it? Are you just sort of rolling day to day, or are you feeling pessimistic, or have you got any signs of optimism in your arsenal?
I'm a glass half empty sort of person anyway.
I had noticed that before.
I've lived through a number of these kind of events, you know, from the 70s onwards, whether it's, you know, 87 obviously was a big event. 2000, when the dot-com bubble burst, was another very big event. The recession in 91, 92 was a big event. We've seen, you know, and obviously the GFC. So we've seen a whole series of these. And you know that it'll be worse than you might have anticipated going into them, but you come out of them faster than you might expect. And at the end of the day, we will get back at some point to something that looks like normal. There's a question mark of how long it's going to take and how deep the economic and financial sector impacts might be. But at some point, we will recover. And I think if you look at SARS, people talk about V-shaped, L-shaped, U-shaped responses to these epidemics and pandemics. If you look at SARS, once you got through the bottom of the health impacts, the markets just took off. So you did have quite a pronounced V. Now, this might look more like a U with a fairly long horizontal bar at the bottom of it, but at some point there will be quite a sharp recovery, both financial and economic. And that's obviously what the Morrison government's trying to do and governments around the world are trying to do. They're trying to preserve enough of the real economy and make sure the financial system works in the meantime so that when we get to that moment, the economy rebounds as sharply as possible.
Well, let's just hang on to that thought as we get through the next few months. Stephen Bartholomew, thanks so much for joining me again on Please Explain.
Thanks, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Leah Samoglu and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.